Across My Chest Like a Safety Rope, written by HMS Lusitania, narrated by Rhea314, Fandom 911, Relationship Evan Buck Buckley / Eddie Diaz, Rating General Audiences, No Archive Warning Supply. Recorded for Reformed Sundare as a present for Voice Team 2024. Eddie puts the finishing touches on his costume, making sure the hat is sitting at the best angle, and goes to find Chris, who is sitting on the side of his bed, staring into his phone, in the same clothes he wore to school. "Is this a new avant-garde costume the kids are doing these days?" Eddie asks, leaning in Chris's doorframe. Chris looks up at him for a second and flushes red and then dodges his eyes. "I don't want to go trick-or-treating this year." Eddie's heart squeezes in his chest, but he ignores it. "No? What's up?" Eddie asks. "Did you not like the costume? We've got time to make you a new one." Chris still doesn't meet his eye. I sort of want to go over to Jenny's house, and maybe we were going to have a slumber party and watch Halloween movies?" "Oh," Eddie says. Chris's phone lights up for just a second, and he glances at it, Denny, undoubtedly. "Is this something you guys were already talking about?" "I didn't want you to get sad," Chris says. "And I thought it might be easier if I told you now instead of 2 days ago." Eddie isn't sure if his heart breaks a little bit or if it swells. "Hey, it's not your job to protect me, okay?" Eddie tells him, sitting down beside him on the edge of the bed and pulling Chris's head against his shoulder so he can press a kiss to the top of his head. "However much I appreciate it, okay?" "Okay," Chris echoes. "So I can spend the night at Denny's?" "Yeah, of course," Eddie says, and ignores the fracturing feeling in his chest for as long as it takes to get Chris's sleepover stuff together and drive to Hen and Karen's. Eddie knocks on the door, and Karen opens it in an elaborate witch's costume with a bowl of candy shaped like a cauldron in front of her. "I think you boys got the assignment backwards," she says, gesturing from the costume Eddie hadn't bothered changing out of to Chris's street clothes. "Bye, Dad," Chris says, hugging him quickly and then disappearing into the house. "And for you, Dr. Jones?" Karen says, extending the candy bowl in Eddie's direction. Eddie dutifully takes a Milky Way bar and unwraps it. He must look a little glum because Karen's amused smile softens. "He didn't tell you beforehand, did he?" she guesses. "He didn't want me to be sad," Eddie replies. "Kids," Karen says, which says it all. "You want to come in, catch one of the movies?" "Nah, I shouldn't crash the boys' party," Eddie says. "But thank you." "We'll bring Chris back in the morning," Karen says, and Eddie nods. "Happy Halloween." Eddie echoes the sentiment, calls a goodbye to Chris, gets a very distant one from somewhere inside the depths of the Wilson house, and heads home. He spends the rest of the sunlit hours of the afternoon moping. Moping and handing out candy every time his doorbell rings. Every time a small pack of children shouts, "Trick or treat!" at him, it makes him want to mope even more. Because he likes Halloween. He likes dressing up, and he likes helping Chris figure out a costume, and he likes taking him trick or treating. And now that Chris is old enough to forego candy willingly in favor of spending the night with his friend watching movies. Eddie should have taken more pictures last year. He should have done more, should have celebrated more. But how is he supposed to realize right off the bat that it had been the last time he'd get to take Chris trick-or-treating? Parenthood usually feels a bit like being tied to the front of a locomotive, but right now, time is disappearing just a little too fast for Eddie's comfort. It's after dark when the latest knock on the door is a little too firm to belong to a kid. Eddie opens it, candy bowl outstretched, and finds himself face to face with Buck. "Trick or treat!" Buck sing-songs, extending a six-pack of beer like it's a candy bag. He's in his LAFD uniform, but there's a piece of masking tape over his name tag with Nash filled in on top of it. It complements the apron he's got on over his uniform, and unless Eddie's very mistaken, Buck has found a way to straighten his hair and gel it up the front, the way Bobby does. "What are you doing here?" Eddie asks, stepping back to let him in, and then ignoring him for a second to distribute candy to the trio of tiny fairies who'd come up the stairs behind him. Once the little girls have thanked him and scampered off, Eddie shuts the door and turns back to Buck.
"And are you really dressed up like Bobby for Halloween?"
"It was very last minute," Buck says. His eyes trail over Eddie, lingering on the half-open shirt, the whip, and the hat.
"And you're..."
Eddie pelts him with a butterfinger and takes the beer from him.
"Don't tell me you don't know who Indiana Jones is tonight. I am too fragile for that."
Buck laughs, but not like he's laughing at him, which Eddie appreciates. "Hen texted," he says, flopping onto Eddie's couch. "Wanted to know what we were doing tonight, since Chris was spending the night with them. I figured you were probably here moping."
"I'm not moping,"
Eddie says mopily, and takes a seat on the other half of the couch. Buck doesn't call him on it and doesn't pry, just lets Eddie continue in his own time.
I would have done more last year if I'd known it was our last Halloween, you know?
"I know," Buck says, and the smile he casts in Eddie's direction is almost unbearably soft. Eddie returns the smile and doesn't ask for the hug he wants. "I also came equipped with Chimney's list of the best horror movies on all our streaming services," Buck says, "if you want to watch something." Eddie laughs.
"I can't say I'm a big fan of horror."
"Me neither," Buck replies. "Want to watch Hocus Pocus instead?"
"Yes," Eddie says without hesitation.
They pull it up and, for the next hour and a half, take it in turns to offer candy to the ever-dwindling number of trick-or-treaters. By the time they finish the movie, the kids have all disappeared for the night. They seamlessly transition to the Addams Family, and Eddie abandons his Indiana Jones hat to the coffee table along with the whip. Buck's apron and uniform button-up follow quickly. Buck hadn't been wearing his LAFD shirt under it, and the orange t-shirt he has on instead looks soft and pleasant to the touch. Over the course of the movie, and into the start of the Addams Family values, Eddie finds himself getting closer to Buck every time he shifts on the couch, his spine getting looser and looser until he finally gives up all pretense and simply pitches over sideways with his head in Buck's lap. It's not the first time, but usually it's only when they're at the station in the middle of an exhausting shift, not when they're alone in Eddie's living room. Buck freezes for a second, and then hesitantly pets Eddie's hair. It feels so nice that Eddie lets his eyes fall shut, in the middle of the montage of Joan Cusack trying to murder Uncle Fester.
"I don't want him to grow up," Eddie admits, almost too quiet to be heard over the TV.
"I know," Buck says, his fingers scratching lightly over Eddie's scalp and sending pleasant tingles down his spine.
I know he's going to grow into an amazing man, and that's going to be the best thing I've ever had the privilege to be part of, but I also just wanted to stay my little kid forever, you know?"
Eddie asks, and is horrified to discover his eyes are welling up.
"I'm scared I'm going to blink and I'll miss all of it."
"You won't," Buck says, gentle but firm. "Eddie, you're the best dad I've ever seen in my life. And if I could, I would find a way to stop time for you so you could have as much time with Christopher while he's young as you could possibly want."
"Thanks," Eddie says, rubbing the water out of the corner of his eye.
His hand collides with the side of Buck's, still brushing through his hair.
and Buck catches his fingers, tangling them together with his own.
I'm serious, Buck says. It's a solid, I don't know, 30% of the reason I fell in love with you.
That statement is stunning enough by itself that Eddie's lingering distress about Christopher temporarily vanishes. He knows it'll come back in a few days or a week, or maybe next month, but for the time being it's knocked entirely from his head. He shifts on the couch, turning over so he's on his back and can stare up at Buck's face. He makes no move to take his head from Buck's lap, and he doesn't disentangle their fingers, instead dropping their joined hands on his chest. Above him, Buck is staring straight ahead, pale as a sheet, eyes wide.
You're in love with me? Eddie asks.
Buck laughs a little nervously.
You know I love you, man. That's not what I asked, and it's also not what you just said.
Eddie interrupts.
I'm sorry. I know you don't feel the same way, Buck says.
Eddie squints up at him from, you know, his spot lying in Buck's lap holding his hand.
Buck, of course I'm in love with you.
Buck blinks and looks down, eyebrows raised in perfect shock. And Eddie takes the apparently necessary drastic action of using his free hand to pull Buck down into a kiss. It's his favorite first kiss he's ever had.
Oh, Buck says when they break apart, a beautiful smile on his face.
Eddie twists back around in Buck's lap so he can see the screen again, but he pulls Buck's arm more securely across his chest like a safety rope. Almost like an afterthought, Buck's thumb starts brushing softly across Eddie's chest. It makes Eddie want to purr like a cat, just a little.
So, is this a thing we're doing now? Buck asks a minute later.
Eddie smiles and drops his chin just enough he can press a small kiss to Buck's thigh.
I'd like to be if you want to.
Yeah, Buck says.
Yeah, I want that.
Okay, Eddie says.
Okay, Buck echoes.
They only make it a few more minutes into the movie before they both burst into helpless, stupid laughter and spend the rest of Halloween night making out on Eddie's couch. They're still there, all wrapped up in each other, when day breaks. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.